this morning, just moments ago, brought forward and consecrated our promises to God for our prayers, presence, gifts, witness, and service. Do you remember why it is these five things? Did you notice all five of those things in your packet? These are the aspects of a life in faith that we promise to God individually and as a congregation every time someone is baptized or becomes a member of this United Methodist congregation. They are a part of our vows to God and to one another. And I've long appreciated the balance of things in those vows and on the faith promise form. There were years, my friends, in my own life where the dollar amount was very little. And I was grateful that I could still pledge in the form of my presence in worship, my prayers for this faith community, my growth in discipleship, and my service. They are there because they are important. And our pastoral and leadership philosophy at Chapel Hill is that of offering many opportunities to give. That language should be familiar by now, and we'll use it often. And this morning we heard in the video your faithful responses to two of those offerings in the crop walk and the coins for coats. We've just recently begun, however, to use the parallel language of opportunities to serve. Rather than the need of a church or a ministry for volunteers, all of those myriad listings and asks and invitations, they are indeed opportunities for you to serve God, an offering of your time, your talents, your abilities, your skills, and your resources in much the same way as your financial gifts. This morning, you've been asked to return your 2019 service and growth form, looks something like that, to help communicate how that part will happen in the next year. Opportunities to serve, to grow, and to witness. Last week, Pastor Chad talked about Luther's concept of the priesthood of all believers and your important work as laity or as non-clergy and ministry. And I watched from the back, and not too many of you were willing, at least at the beginning of Chad's message, to own your role as ministers. Very few hands were up. But I hope that you were by the end. Chad and I agree that you most certainly all are ministers for Christ. A few weeks ago, in the message stemming from the Incredibles Pixar movie, I spoke a bit about finding your superpower, those gifts which God has placed in you for God's purposes. And as our scripture that we just read describes, these are really spiritual gifts, given and revealed by the Holy Spirit only in life with God and community. What is a spiritual gift? How do you know what yours is or are? Why is knowing them important? We're going to spend some time this morning exploring those questions. They're important ones for the life of the church and for our life as disciples of Christ and as ministers for God. So are you with me so far? All right, I'll take quiet as yes. So there are some layers of understanding here, and I'm going to unpack those a bit. So the first layer, we all have skills, ability, knowledge, and experience that we carry in our lives and into any work that we do, and those abilities and skills and knowledge increase over the course of our life. So carpentry, cooking, accounting, design, plumbing, landscaping, organizing, musicianship, public speaking, and on it goes. There are just these things we're interested in, these areas that we developed. And they may be used to earn a living for our own pleasure or to serve God's purposes for mission and ministry and the life of community. Sometimes we need a plumber in the life of a community. They've been developed by us through learning, use, and practice. I am a master gardener, and that is a body of ability, knowledge, and experience that I have learned over time. Second layer, all of us have some talent, some seemingly more than others, some combination of nature meets nurture that creates a higher expression of those skills and abilities. This could be a talent in math, in writing, art, music, speaking, poetry, dance, athletics, business, leadership, and in some different ways of thinking, critical, imaginative, visionary, strategic kinds of minds. And I think that most of us experience versions of these two layers very early in our lives, almost as soon as we entered school. Some kids did well in math because they did the homework, took the flashcards, ground out the learning. This is my math kind of scholar. And they developed the skills and ability of mathematics. Some kids just never seemed to be able to get the concepts, either because they didn't do the work or because their brains weren't quite wired for math. And some kids just seemed to learn it without trying really hard at all. They just had an innate talent for math. And so we began really early to see how this dance of inherent talent and developed abilities and skills played out in the classroom, in the auditorium, on the sports field, even in our kind of narrow lives as kids, we could watch these. So these first two layers are primarily of nature and nurture, learning and growth, abilities, skills, and talents. And there may be some superpowers, some super talents there, but they're ones that can be used in whatever manner we choose. We see people around us and in the news use these abilities, skills, and talents all the time. They're the people that are celebrity. They're the people that are at the top of their field or their sport. And we see them used for good, to help others, to make the world a better place, to create joy, art, beauty, entertainment, music, to create businesses, jobs, industry, and organizations. But we also see constant examples of people who use all of these things only for themselves, in ways that exploit or harm others, for destructive and even evil ways and purposes. So enter our third layer and the core of our scripture for today, spiritual gifts. In some ways, it's the motivation and the underpinnings of the ways that we use our abilities, skills, and talents in the world. So spiritual gifts, how many show of hands are familiar with this biblical concept? Heard of it before? How many of you feel that you know what your own spiritual gifts are? This isn't an area in which you're confident you are not alone. According to a 2009 study by Barna Research Group, one of the leading researchers on the Christian church in America, about 60% of self-identified Christians, only about 60%, have heard of spiritual gifts. Of those, only about a third could list gifts that were actually named in the Bible. And we'll list those in a couple of minutes. Other respondents named things like listening, a good personality, friendliness, church attendance, being likable, and patience as spiritual gifts. Some even named a job and a house as spiritual gifts. So let's see if we can do better than that, people of God. And let's start at the beginning with a definition. What is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a God-given attribute distributed or revealed in individual Christians by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts empower and equip each of us. Each person, each believer is given at least one spiritual gift. So they help each of us to help the church execute its mission on earth. They're not given to use for our glory, but for God's glory. They combine with our talents, skills, abilities, passion, interests, and experiences, but they are used to serve God. I'm going to start to get pretty detailed here, but there are going to be a couple of resources that are available for you on the way out today that I'll describe in a few minutes. So don't worry about taking notes or kind of catching the details of this. Those will be available. There are some 22 to 32 attributes given in the Bible, understood as spiritual gifts, depending on the source of the list that you're reading. The passage given this morning, and really all of 1 Corinthians 12, is a roadmap for the use of spiritual gifts in the life of the church. And I encourage you to read it this week and think about the placement of that list and that roadmap before the chapter on love in God's community. More spiritual gifts can be found in Romans 12, 1 Ephesians 4, which was the scripture Chad used last week, and 1 Corinthians 7. And again, those are on one of the resources. I'm going to list all the spiritual gifts, or at least 20-some of them, in some small groupings so that we're just hearing them together today. These will be in the resource that you can pick up. So just sit and listen. See what you notice in the list. See if any of them just kind of particularly catch your attention as you hear them. Apostleship, evangelism, exhortation, shepherding, and pastor. Compassion, mercy, helping, and servanthood. Discernment, faith, giving, hospitality, teaching, and wisdom. Speaking and interpretation of tongues, healing, miracles, and prophecy. Administration, knowledge, and leadership. What did you notice? What gifts caught your attention? Perhaps because you might recognize them in yourself or someone else. Perhaps because they surprised you in their inclusion. Some of these are pretty familiar to us. Pastor, compassion, giving, teaching, leadership. Some of them we might not understand. What does exhortation mean? I'm going to ask you to look it up, but I am sure that you can do it because you are fabulous, wonderful people. That good joke. What kind of knowledge is useful in the body of Christ? And in our United Methodist Chapel Hill kind of way, how comfortable are we with the thought of speaking and interpretation of tongues or languages, healing, miracles, and prophecy being gifts that live among us and need to live among us? What does it mean to our community of faith if we don't at least recognize their potential as God-given gifts for God's purpose here? And an example of this is pretty simple. Bring it down into just the real life. This is one of my toolboxes from home with tools combined from a couple of things. Just going to my tote around the house toolbox. So this is has a pretty specific use, really good for pounding things in, for lifting things out. You don't twist very well with a hammer. And somewhere here, where did we go? There is also a screwdriver. So screwdrivers have different, all these pockets and it's gone. But we'll go with another tool. So we have a channel lock wrench. Not meant for pounding, although who's ever used a channel lock wrench to pound something, raise your hand, yeah. But not its intended purpose, meant for twisting. And really, it's got some good teeth. It's meant to lock in on something to give you some torque and some force to be able to move something. This doesn't do that very well. You can sometimes do it with a twisty nail if you want. But these tools have very different purposes. And so in my toolbox, there's also one of my favorites, a roll of duct tape, good measuring tape, some clamps, a little level. But I've also, and there, There's the screwdriver that was hiding. It's one of my favorites, a little ratchet screwdriver meant to twist things that have twists in them. But if you use a hammer to put in a screw, you kind of end up with a big hole in whatever you're doing. The tools are made to be used for specific purposes. Because I do more than one kind of work, I have more than one kind of tool in here, and I'm a gardener. So this is my favorite pair of pruners. They're bright yellow, so when I leave them in the garden like I do frequently, I can find them. I have kind of a claw digger that I like to use to weed. One of my favorite trowels. You can see how beat up that is, but that is a solid tool, and I love it. And because there's different kinds of things that I cut, I have kind of a little smaller set of pruners and a nipper. Remember, I'm a master gardener, so this is the place where I want a big array of things. And because occasionally I do some other kinds of work, I have a whisk to blend things together in the kitchen and a grater for cheese and carrots. And there are some things I do even less often, so I have a Swiffer in my toolbox. It's really clean. But all of these, which I've built up over time in my life as I've taken care of my home and my garden and developed skills and abilities to use them, combine to allow me to do that. They're a set of things that I use to do the work that I need to do in my home. And so God creates in all of us this combination of ability and skills and talent and spiritual gifts to be able to do the work that God needs to do through this home and in the home of our world. A couple of questions remain. How do you know what your spiritual gifts are? In that list that we created, in that same Barna study I mentioned earlier, nearly half of Christian respondents were either unaware of the concept of spiritual gifts, claimed they did not have one, or could not identify their own. So again, let's see if we can do better than that after today. So the first way to learn, take a test. I talked about resources that are available to you on the way out today, and one of them is this. It's called Your Spiritual Gifts Inventory. And if you've been a part of a faith community for a while, you may have done one of these. Not a bad idea to do them on occasion, I think, as our faith and our understanding increase, where we see ourselves in this changes a bit. And we have about 70 of these that are available to you on the way out. And they include a pretty thorough assessment, a scoring mechanism, and definitions and scriptural references for each of the 32 gifts described. So this is a pretty broad one. Battle is a spiritual gift described in here that we wouldn't normally talk about. But there is spiritual battle in the world. And so one of these can certainly be shared with the family, and you're welcome to take one. The other resource today is this green half sheet, which will be available right with the books. And it has the list of spiritual gifts that I used this morning, the 4 scriptural references given, and 3 online assessment tools, some of which are a little less girthy than this one. I think has about 150 questions that you might use to explore this question. So that's one way to at least begin identifying your own spiritual gifts. But this is a place, however, where just taking a self-assessment is not quite enough. It's hard to view ourselves neutrally or as others view us. So here are some other ways that I think add to that to help you identify your gifts. Spiritual gifts are given to be used in community. And some discussion and discernment with your own community is valuable here. So gather input and feedback from friends and loved ones. Take the top 5 gifts that show up on your test and ask them just to prayerfully tell you what they recognize and how they might see that. This is a really great thing to do in a small group or a class that has been together for a while because you see those gifts in each other that they might not see. And there are some really wonderful tools and exercises that can be used in classes and small groups, and Chad and I would be happy to point the way. Another way is to think about the ministries that you are already doing. Is God blessing them? Are they life-giving for you? Are you thinking of it, I'm going to pick on Don, as playing the drums in the band, but what you're really doing is offering encouragement to others and doing evangelism for God because you're excited about doing that? And lastly, if spiritual gifts are from God, then some conversation with God is in order here, right? So sit with the list of gifts, with your test results, maybe just with the question, and ask God to help you see your gifts clearly. So we have skills, abilities, talents, and spiritual gifts. I'm going to give you an example of how this plays out in our community. Amy Brevitz, our director of worship, certainly has musical talent. She has a lovely voice, a musical ear, a knack for music theory. She also has skills and abilities as a musician that grew her talent in hours of piano practice, college classes, and being a part of school, college, and church choirs, and worship teams. And those talents and abilities combine with her spiritual gifts, the ones I see, of shepherding and leadership of choir and praise team. And they're used for evangelism in this setting every week for the glory of God. Why know our own gifts? So we can follow God's leading with more confidence and courage, so that we can be more conscious and intentional in our places of yes and in our places of no. And Chad and I both agree, as we do nominations and leadership calls and ask, that we are always as impressed by someone's thoughtful, prayerful no as we are with their thoughtful, prayerful yes. It's a little more work when we get those, but we want you to consider what opportunities there are and how it meets your talents, abilities, skills, and spiritual gifts. And I think knowing them just gives you another way to know how God is calling you. Why know our gifts together as a community? From verse 7 of our passage today, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help one another. And later in this chapter, Paul goes on to use the metaphor we hear often of the body to describe Christ's church. We need the head, feet, arms, legs, torso, hands to make a whole body. And at the end of the metaphor is this verse: all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. We know our own spiritual gifts so that we can be the full, complete, whole, healthy body of Christ together. We also know of them so we can speak them to one another. It is a very encouraging, helpful thing to have others see, recognize, and talk to you about gifts that they see in you. And lastly, like talents and abilities, spiritual gifts, once recognized and known, likely require some practice and development. They are given, but they're not given fully formed and developed. And a part of our work in community is allowing space for others to practice and grace as they learn and grow. Using your spiritual gifts may not always be comfortable. If I remember the first half a dozen times that I did this, it was scary. Occasionally still is, but not very often. It's not comfortable. We have to grow into them a bit. We are the body of Christ, people of God. May we spend the time and effort to identify, recognize, and grow the spiritual gifts that God has placed in each of us. May we nurture, speak, and encourage the gifts that we see in one another. May we offer our gifts together in community to create and grow the kingdom of God and to make disciples of Christ for the transformation of the world. And may we do all of this surrounded, buoyed, covered, and filled with the grace and love of God. Pray with me. Holy and loving God, as I look out on these people, I see your array of gifts present, scattered like beautiful jewels in these pews. Help each of us to recognize those gifts in ourselves, to speak them to one another, to encourage each other as they are grown and developed in our community of faith, so that we all may go forth into this world which is hurting and broken, to wounded people and needful situations, to be your body of Christ in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.